Okay, welcome back. The next item is the nominations for the Access Advisory Committee. Councillor Mitchell would like to move, seconded by Councillor Cordova. Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. I just would firstly like to make note that Councillor Reet, who's the chair of this committee, is not with us tonight. I did actually check in with her to see if this item remained on the agenda without her absence, and she did note that that would be fine considering it is for the appointments. And just to note, I've only been to the Access and Advisory Committee a few times, have been involved at previous councils, and they are a very important committee of council. So I note the purpose tonight is to consider nominations received for representation on the Kingborough Access Advisory Committee. The nominations were called in August and 9 nominations have been received, 5 received from sitting members and 4 are new nominations, which is really fantastic to see. And I, really support this motion. Just a bit more about some of the nominees. Of the 9 nominees, 3 are representative of organisations and 1 is from Batcare NDIS, which is fantastic to have a service provider with that background on. 1 from Dementia Friendly Tasmania, who I'm sure we all know are a really fantastic advocacy group for, unfortunately, the growing number of people with dementia in Tasmania. And 1 is from the Kingborough Lions Club. So it's a real, seems to be like a real diverse nominations that we have before us. So I encourage councillors to say yes to this motion.
Councillor Fox.
Well, I congratulate council on having being given so many nominations because all the years the Access Committee's been running, it's been difficult to fill all the seats, and I think this is one of the first times where we have achieved that. So congratulations and thank you, and I recommend the motion.
I'd like to sum up.
No, thanks, Mayor.
The motion moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Cordova, is that the following nominees be appointed as members of the Kingborough Access Advisory Committee: Justine Barwick, Kevin Brown, Di Carter, Paul Gilby, Melinda Harris, Julie Taylor, Fran Thompson, David Vickery and Richard Whitbrick. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. We move on to the financial report for August 2020, recommendation on page 159. Councillor Westwood moves, seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the financial report for August 2020, second month of the new financial year. I have asked Mr. Breen some questions prior to the meeting, so I won't go over all of those again. Just one question in relation to point 2.2. In the 2021 operational budget, Council made an allowance of $500,000 for potential loss of rates revenue under the hardship policy to cover the waiving of commercial rates. This $500,000 has been moved from the rates revenue account as we access the applications for rates relief. Early indications are that the entire amount will not be required to cover potential applications for a commercial rates waiver. I was just wondering if we could have some more information in regards to that. Is that an indication of the state of the economy of the municipality at the moment, or do we suspect maybe there are businesses out there that are yet to claim? Do we expect, I guess because we're moving the money, we don't expect businesses to claim in the future?
Mr. Breen.
Yes, through you, Mayor. Essentially, having a look at our rates outstanding at this point compared to this time last year, the rates outstanding are about up by 4%. Considering that we've got a new charge being the green waste charge, which would represent probably around a couple of percent, does say that across the municipality, and this is residential and commercial, numbers are pretty similar to last year, so we're not seeing a substantial impact from the pandemic on our level of outstanding rates. Just to give a bit of a feel for the specific numbers, so at the moment there's 613,000 in arrears of all ratepayers. Of those, 36 are specifically contacted council and asked for some sort of relief under the COVID hardship policy, or the hardship policy, and specifically identified the COVID issues causing their arrears. There are 387 that we've got in payment arrangements, which amounts to about $90,000, and we have some 700 people that have unpaid their rates and had no contact with council to date. So they're the ones that we will be essentially really working on over the next 3 or 4 months to try and put in place a paying arrangement. Getting more specific in regards to commercial, so under the remissions, which is a new section of the hardship policy, to date we've only received 12 applications, of which to date 9 have been granted. There's 3 that are under investigation. The remission amount requested is around about $20,000 per quarter. So most of those people now are looking at 2 quarters, so there's 40,000. If it continues on for the remainder of this financial year, then we're looking at an amount around about $100,000. But having said that, we've also got another 27 commercial rate payers that are in arrears to around about $70,000. So, and that's a quarterly amount. So potentially some or all of those people could come back to council and request relief under the current hardship policy. So once again, there'll be people that we'll be trying to contact over the next 2 or 3 months to find out what their position is.
Thank you. And in regards to the efficiency dividend, how has that been implemented and monitored?
Through you, Mayor. So with the efficiency dividend, the management have sat down and over a number of meetings had some discussions around the areas that we could potentially target to achieve the efficiency dividend. We've now completed that process recently and we've identified probably around about 15 to 20 line items that we believe we can take some costs out of the business and achieve $380,000. To monitor this, we're setting up an alternate budget. So the budget that was approved by council stays the budget that we'll report back to council, but an internal budget which takes out that expenditure. So when the managers or their staff have a look at the budget, they will see a reduced amount, and that's the amount that then they've got the responsibility of achieving that reduced expenditure outcome. So we'll monitor that over the next couple of months, and in December we'll be coming back to council with a report on not only what expenditure we've identified, but how we're going in regards to achieving those outcomes.
Will that form part of a mid-year review of the budget?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Thank you.
Are the lights on? Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Mayor. Sorry about the slowness on the light. Just want to ask a question on page 159, and perhaps it's a general manager that might respond to this. I note, and it's a small amount, but it will build up, and that's employee costs now $24,000 over budget due to leave not taken because of COVID, and of course we don't know what's around the corner. There could be a second wave. We hope that there's not, but we're not out of this at this stage, and you know, for the next 3 or 4 years we may be even in more lockdown than we are now, and as I said, hope not. But I'm just wondering, what's the arrangements with staff?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for the question, Councillor Watts. The management team have been watching this situation closely, as you'll appreciate, with the border closure. There has been clearly a reluctance of staff for most of this calendar year to access their leave in usual amounts. We do have a policy whereby once they reach a certain threshold, they are required to take that leave. And in addition, management are encouraging their teams to take leave, holiday locally or elsewhere in the state, because from a mental health and wellbeing point of view, it is important.
Thank you. And if I can continue, Mayor, just probably to Mr. Reeve in relation to capital works and maintenance. Are we on schedule or have we fallen behind because of COVID restrictions?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. I don't think we've fallen behind because of COVID restrictions, as I mentioned in an earlier item there. We haven't been that affected in terms of contractors at this stage, or trying to access contractors at this stage there. It's quite dependent on what's actually happening in the market at any given time as well, as to we may have projects that are ready to go, but it may be a period of time before a contractor can start that project there. That's not necessarily COVID-related, that's just the nature of the local market and the lack of contractors in the market in that area there. So at this stage, we're just keeping a watching brief on it, and whether that changes as we move towards things such as opening borders, we'll just have to wait and see.
Just one, Mayor.
Councillor Grace.
180... I notice here with Kingston Park, I must have, we have got some costing in for Kingston Park. I can't quite understand CO3173 on page 180. I'll give John time to look at that.
Yep.
It says the playground. Budget and carried forward expenditure $3,632, etc. This is committed to over $2 million. Variance. So, is there still 700,000 left of that, or are we over expended that 700, Mr. Green?
Mr. Breen.
Or do you want to have a look at it and come back to me? I'm not sure.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Essentially, the way I read this is that we've got carry forward expenditure of $3.6 million for this financial year. The actual expenditure to date is $191,000. We've got 2.67, which is committed, so there'll be contractual commitments that we have in place, which leaves $773,000 over, which is uncommitted funds at this point in time. So there may be some other works that will be coming up that those funds will be used for.
Thank you.
Yep, and my contribution just to commend the Chief Financial Officer for once again underestimating the rate revenue by $100,000, which he does every single year, and one of these years I'm going to catch him out and we're going to put the correct amount in the budget. Okay, Councillor Westwood, would you like to sum up? Okay, the motion is that the Council endorses the attached financial report for 31 August 2020, moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. We move on to the Development Services Quarterly Report. Recommend a motion on page 187. Would anyone like to move that? Councillor Wass. Seconded by Councillor Grace. Councillor Wass.
It was a very interesting report provided, which gives us the development applications for the year up to the end of August, I think it was, which certainly shows that there's been no slacking off, and I guess if the trend goes the way we think it will go, it's going to put more and more pressure on to our planning department. I was a little bit concerned reading this that, was it in this or was it in there? So in this on page 189, that under item 9.124th dot point, however, this method is unlikely to have any funding available due to the efficiency dividend requested by council, and I'm just wondering whether that was in direct opposite to what council had instructed back at that stage.
What number was that? Sorry.
Item number 9, fourth dot point on page 189.
Sure. General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Wass, the commentary there from the manager relates to the fact that normally external training would be a component of addressing this recommendation, and in the current budget for this financial year, accessing funds for that particular reason, given the efficiency dividend, are unlikely. It is not saying that the recommendation won't be adhered to, as is required by legislation, given the council have made that decision. It's merely saying that that particular component would normally involve some external training, and the current budget does not allow that.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for including this report in the open session of Council as opposed to having it as an appendix. I really appreciate that. I think in terms of good governance, and it enables us to scrutinise planning, and that's important in light of us having a review late last year. On page 182, at 2.4, it says, the Premier's Economic and Social Recovery Advisory Council report, COVID-19 response, July 2020, included 64 recommendations, and specific to development services are the comments, are the recommendations number 22, areas of government responsible for planning decisions, permits and related approvals, including the Lands Titles Office, which obviously isn't council, should be fully resourced to ensure timely decision making. Number 25, local government should prioritise the resourcing of development applications and planning approvals to ensure that legislative timeframes are met, if not bettered. Do we have anything from the state government that indicates they might be willing to provide resources to help local government achieve those recommended outcomes?
That's an interesting question. General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Westwood, that is an excellent question. One would hope that this wouldn't be another example of state government cost shifting. Clearly, there are implications for 29 councils across the state with recommendations 22 and 25 in the PESRAC report. Notwithstanding that, though, part of the narrative provided by the manager in the agenda tonight in response to the recommendations and the progress on addressing the recommendations from the planning review is that we are indeed prioritising our statutory timeframes. If the state government, through the PESRAC report, impose additional requirements, that may require additional resourcing. All councillors would be aware that in the case of planners per se, the total impact to any council budget would be in the vicinity of $100,000 per annum for one additional resource.
Thank you. At point four, the report notes that some significant compliance matters have been investigated and proceeded to enforcement action, including the construction of entire dwellings without approval. How many entire dwellings have been built without approval that the Planning Department is aware of?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Well, it's, again, this is an interesting question, because we've had five this year so far. And that may come as a surprise, but it's certainly unusual, but it's not necessarily surprising. There are a number of reasons why this may occur. One recent example involves a situation where, in broad terms, unbeknownst to the now owner, the dwelling was constructed without any approvals, and not only without any approvals, but not entirely on the land owned by the owner, partially on Crown land. So we're currently working through that with the owner who is about to lodge a DA for a new dwelling. But I'm glad that you asked the question, Councillor Westwood, because often the magnitude of the matters we're dealing with would otherwise go unnoticed. But as you can appreciate, it's in everyone's best interest, particularly a homeowner, to have the appropriate approvals if they were ever to want to sell the property, for example, or more importantly, in a worst case scenario, if something happened to the dwelling, it may impact significantly in terms of insurance or lack of insurance cover.
Thank you, General Manager. It's certainly quite a number of dwellings, five. The next lot of questions I have relate to the an update on Council's planning or review of planning. There were 19 recommendations made that have been addressed in this report, and I appreciate that they are addressed in the report. I understand councillors have a workshop on the 19th of October and that we will be discussing the outcome, well, the progress on the review recommendations in that workshop. I note recommendation two, that there has been an equivalent of 0.6 FTE of salary recently used to employ a 3-day per week technical officer. Is this person situated at the front counter, as recommended in recommendation two, situated at the front counter to receive, advise and check on planning inquiries and lodgements?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr Mayor. At the present time, the answer to your question, Councillor Westwood, is no. But what's not stated in the report in the agenda tonight is that the newly appointed technical officer will in fact be here 5 days a week, working those 3 days. So effectively the hours are basically between 10 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. And that technical officer will, in tandem with the duty planner, ensure that there is a member of the planning team at the front counter available at all times during office hours for inquiries.
Thank you. And could Council give some consideration to advertising that we have someone available between those hours to answer questions from the public?
General Manager.
Through Mr Mayor, yes, happy to take that on board.
Thank you. Recommendation three, that a council-approved set of standard conditions be developed to facilitate the more efficient reporting and review of development applications. I understand a review has commenced. Could councillors please receive a copy of this review when it is completed?
GM.
Through you, Mr Mayor. Yes, Councillor Westwood. We will make sure all councillors get a copy of the completed product.
Thank you. Recommendation five, I don't think has been written very well. Sorry about that. The review recommendation five is that a review of delegations be undertaken to facilitate less matters being required to be referred for review to the planning coordinator and enable the planning staff to deal with a range of matters in a far more timely and efficient manner. So for me, that recommendation means implementing changes through a review of delegations to enable the planning department to more quickly assess development applications that they receive. However, the answer to, the update is there has been a delegation change for planners to sign off their own request for an extension of time to make a decision. So that sounds like we're adding more time. We're giving approval for planners to add more time instead of changing a delegation to make the process more streamlined.
General Manager, Deputy General Manager looks... He's keen.
No. Through the Chair. No, I think what the response there is saying is that that's one of the delegations which have been passed down to the managers. That is something that the planning staff would need to do. If there's a request for an extension of time made by an applicant, it would normally have gone to the coordinator, but now what they're saying here is that it's actually been passed down to... planning staff to approve that rather than having to go up to the delegation. So it is a handing down of the delegation further down to staff rather than be done
If someone externally, a member of the public, requests an extension of time, that delegation has been handed down. It's not changing a delegation for planners to add additional time to the requirement to respond to external requests.
Deputy GM.
No, just through the chair. Sorry, I might have confused you a little bit. It's not a request from the applicant. It's a request from council to see if we are able to get an extension of time from the applicant.
Okay. I don't understand, and I don't need to understand the process. I hope that we haven't delegated a mechanism for adding extra time, because to me this recommendation is trying to lessen the time it takes. 8. Recommendation 8, that resourcing be made available to upgrade the current IT planning software such that it meets the needs of the department's processes and requirements. It talks about the allocation, potentially employing a consultant to help review the health of the system, provide training to staff, assist in crystal reporting and create and implement the enforcement module. How much is it estimated to cost, given that a budget bid was going to be put in, but as a result of the financial impact of COVID-19, that was not done?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'll have to take that particular one on notice because, Councillor Westwood, I don't know the cost estimate, to be honest.
Thank you. I guess, depending on the cost, I would be supportive of giving the planning department some money in a future budget to do that, because I think that's really important. Recommendation 9, that council and management seek to encourage the planning department to adopt a philosophy of working with a proponent to help achieve a mutually agreeable planning outcome and provide support to the department in the achievement of this outcome. What is being done to change the culture of the planning department to work with a proponent? I note that training sessions have been scheduled and in-house discussions have occurred about service delivery. How does that follow through to a change, a longer-term change in culture, linking back to the strategic plan that puts the community at the heart of everything we do?
Jean.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Westwood, it is a work in progress. I have discussed this with the manager late last week. And unfortunately she's actually on annual leave tonight, otherwise she would be here, but I know that she is keen to continue this discussion at the council workshop. What I can say, and it picks up a point that Councillor Wass raised earlier on this report, the development applications that were received last calendar year, 723, were a record year. At the end of August this year, we're only 3 applications behind that number for the corresponding period last year. In the middle of last week, one of our largest builders in Kingborough advised us that they're about to lodge 70 development applications. That does not come as a surprise to me, because the 31st of December this year, the federal government first home buyers grant will close. So builders and planning consultants are working feverishly at the moment to get development applications in, and it's highly likely, in fact it's absolutely probable, that we will have a record number of development applications for this calendar year.
Thank you. thank you. I do recognise that it is a hard space to work in, and I recognise that I'm taking up too much time with questions. Just to flag recommendation 18, that appropriate delegations be put in place to facilitate the service without the need for all advice to be reviewed by a senior planner, says this recommendation is completed, and as part of the workshop I'd be interested to know what exactly what delegations have been put in place to complete that recommendation. Thank you.
Councillor Grace and then Councillor Bastone.
I won't keep it as long as our Deputy Mayor, but I suppose I look at 9 and I raise a question. I think I've raised it before. When people lodge their DAs, they're told, yes, okay, this is that, that's that, then all of a sudden they get a letter saying we need more information. What I'm saying is you're going to get 70 more houses, a DA for 70 houses within the municipality. That should be streamlined. If they're if all the criteria are met, in this case, a planner should be able to stamp them off. We do it under delegation if they run out of time. I know it's difficult for 70, but we should make the streamline easier. But the point I'm trying to make is where we lose a lot of time, and this is where the frustration comes in, is when they lodge the application, it's addressed by the planners, they go through the criterias, then they say, yep, that's right, and then next thing they're bombarded with further information, please explain, do this, do that. That's the frustration out there.
Councillor Stone.
Thank you, Mayor. Number 4 on page 188, which was just about the only one that Councillor Westwood didn't ask about, was one that I think is very important. The standardising of checklists and procedure manual for processing of applications be prepared to guide and assist new or junior staff. With the thought of having 70 applications coming through in the next few weeks, it would be important that this procedure manual is done. I mean, this helps them process the applications quickly. And as Councillor Grace said, the biggest bugbear that people have is that they put their application in, they think it's fine, and at the last moment something comes up and the time seems to start again, and this is happening constantly. Perhaps if the procedure manual was done, then we might not get these sort of things each time.
Or they say the documents are lost. Please present another lot of documents.
Councillor Street.
Mayor, I've just got a couple of questions about the planning appeal update section. Happy for these to be taken on notice if we don't have the information available tonight. Just in relation to the first two listed, 2021-38 and 2026-57. I'm just wondering whether there's any advice as to what was amended in the permits in order for there to be a resolution to the appeals.
Mr. Ferrier.
Oh, yes, we'll take that on notice.
Yep.
Oh.
I thought you said I know this.
I was going to say I'd be incredibly surprised if you did know this off the top of your head. And look, the other one is just 2020-51. We're past that mediation date now. Did we mediate an outcome?
Oh, we'll take that on notice as well. For my contribution, I was going to ask about the planning review as well. The number 4, the standard checklists, I mean, I guess it just occurs to me that we've got this large amount of workload and that the procedure and checklist manual is supposed to help alleviate the workload, but we're saying there's too much work on for us to do the work to save us from the workload. Is it possible to have some intervention here where, you know, we get someone in with a specific task of developing a procedure manual, because I think it is important. I think it was Councillor Bastone that talked about it. But if the productivity is obviously being impacted by the lack of this work having been done. Or Deputy Jam.
Through the chair. Yes, the manager's indicated that she'll discuss this in much more detail at the workshop, but my response to that is that there are manuals. It's just not set down as a sort of a manual you'd hand over to somebody. The actual pathway process dictates how you process all applications. So there is a step-by-step process that everybody works their way through. So it's not as if it's a free-for-all or that staff aren't being given any guidance. The actual pathway process that they use, the software that they process through the applications, it's a fail-safe process so that there's nothing that slips through. It doesn't allow it to go to the next stage until a certain stage is done. So the actual processing of applications is done correctly and in accordance with the legislation and the planning scheme. So that does assist new and junior staff. I think what this is indicating is that there's just not a separate document that you can sort of give to somebody as part of their induction. Here's a manual for how you process the applications. The actual day-to-day mentoring and instructions and the use of the software certainly enables the work to be done quite efficiently by the by junior staff. And in fact, we don't have many junior staff now. They've all been there for a reasonable period of time or we've employed some senior people.
In terms of five, the review actually talked much more broadly about delegations, and it talked about bottleneck within the organisation and correspondence all being filtered through one or two people. In this case, it references the coordinator, and that could lead to several days' delay in processing of simple matters. The concern I've got with the response is that that saying that simply providing a delegation change for a sign-off on their own request for an extension of time would only be a tiny fraction of the delegations that I would have thought would be reviewed as part of that. Does this mean that delegations are not being further reviewed other than that one single item?
My understanding is that's been just as included as an example of one of the delegations which has been changed and that there's other delegations which are under consideration.
Okay. Look, we've got a workshop coming up, so I look forward to that. Councillor Wass, did you want to sum up? So, Councillor Wass has closed. The motion moved by Councillor Wass and seconded by Councillor Grace is that the Development Services Quarterly Report be noted. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motions carried unanimously. The next item is the Audit Panel Chairman's Report to Council from July 2020. Looking for a mover and seconder. Someone from the Audit Panel I would have thought would be appropriate. Councillor Fox, South Councillor Street. Thanks. Councillor Fox.
Well, this document has been prepared by our independent chairman, Paul McTaggart, who's highly respected in the field, and I recommend the report. It's been also endorsed by all members of the audit panel. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I don't have any problem with this report neither. It's straightforward, and it is a report straight from the chairman of the audit committee. And it's open for the public to scrutineer.
Thank you. No further... Oh, Councillor Westwood.
Thank you. Just to note that the projects identified for the 2021 financial year are to perform an independent review of the governance and progress to date of the Kingston Park development, specific risks to be discussed during the scoping of this project. The next one is financial sustainability, review of the long-term financial plan and underlying assumptions with a particular focus on the impact of COVID-19 and strategic infrastructure planning. And the third one is risk framework, evaluation of the risk framework with a focus on compliance and its application across council to support the audit panel to meet the requirements under the Local Government Act. And these sound like really valuable projects. I look forward to their outcome.
A question on that from me in terms of the auditing of the long-term financial plan, is the intention to audit our updated long-term financial plan once we have one, or are they going to audit the existing one? Because if they audit the existing one, they're going to find that it's pretty out of whack post-COVID.
Yes, through the chair, the expectation was that we'd be looking at getting a long-term financial plan up to council later this year, and they would audit that plan. Certainly at this stage the model is being updated, so the model will be ready even if the plan isn't, but I think they might even defer this one and bring the risk management one forward so that it's an updated model.
Good idea, thanks. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Fox, would you like to close the debate?
No, thank you for the contributions, particularly from Councillor Westwood. Thank you.
Councillor Fox moved and Councillor Street seconded that the audit panel chairman's report be noted. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. There's a recommendation that in accordance with the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, application for leave of absence, supply of two 1100 GVM tip trucks, Kingborough Bowls Club request for financial relief, and Taruna Bowls Club loan. Would anyone like to move and second that?
Move.
Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. And in accordance with Kingborough Council Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, the open session of Council will now cease, and the open session of Council adjourns at 7:53.